Cocktail.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Us Podcast, Level 2. Ooh,
a podcast about us.
It's all of us.
Foo. Dang. And we're getting super body ovato up in this episode.
We're straight up owning it in this one.
We're about to bring back our caricatures from Quesorama. Hey, what's up, Essie?
They also made a brief return in the Chicano review when we're just like, hey, what's up, carnales? Oh, it's the Us Podcast.
But today, as you can obviously see, we have a very special guest here with us today. It's not a guest episode. It's not a...
Mm-hmm. Still just the name, Chris Angel episode.
Yeah, we're calling it a round table.
There you go.
A round table,
actually, by our guest right here.
Hello, everybody.
What's up? What's your name?
Tell people who you is.
My name's Sarah Neal. I am a writer / producer.
Yes. ICF alumni.
ICF alumni.
Inner city filmmakers. Lifelong podcast fans will know.
For everyone who's keeping tabs, this is a fucking round table of ICFers up in here.
Yeah, for those who haven't had context, Inner City Filmmakers, that's the film program. Me and Angel became acquainted, and now we all kind of met there.
We're all products. In different forms.
And then you and I met there, mm-hmm. different years, but
Still going strong.
This is still going strong.
This is proof that friendships last.
And that Holly Foos is happening.
Boom, Holly Foos. So, Chris, can you explain to the lovely audiences at home, what the heck is Holly Foos?
Holly Foos is, thank you for asking. Wow. Holly Foos is, is it a phrase or is it a slang? It's
a
just
movement.
It's a movement.
Movement.
It's also. I don't know. It's a term. It's a term we coined for this new wave of like brown foos. Because there's, I feel like
brown filmmakers. Specifically.
Yeah. But more specifically, like young brown filmmakers. Because right now there's a lot of brown filmmakers that are like having their day right now, which is really exciting. But it's like it's still like, and this could be biased, but it also feels like. Yeah, but like that's not what's gonna change the landscape.
That
opens the door and allows us in, but we're the traviesos that are gonna like fuck shit up.
That's true. And so we're doing this episode because me and Chris were gonna do an episode about like Latinos and Hollywood representation. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, Sarah literally just texted me
her today.
It was today?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this was Angel literally calling today. He's like, yo, can we do this? Can we bring this person on?
Because, Sarah, explain the text message. Like, what prompted the text message that you sent me?
Essentially, there is a competition for Latinx people to submit scripts. And we have been reading some of the, like, scripts that one got selected. And they're trash. They're terrible.
Ooh,
and
shots.
Not just terrible in the sense of content, like in structure and everything, like terrible in representation. Like I felt personally offended as a brown person reading this shit.
Damn.
Like I had to stop a couple of times.
There you go. Beautiful. It's not just me and Chris complaining.
Yeah, we're not the ones talking shit.
Like that shit's happening.
Haters.
And, like, I got to preface, this is my experience and everything. And, you know, other people reading them, obviously they liked them. They made them into this list, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're angry, yeah.
I'm angry, and, you know, I assume I'm not the only one
You're not, but I feel like, at least me in particular, I feel like I've kind of bored myself to death with why I'm angry. But I honestly want to hear what particularly makes you angry. Because there's different things that make me angry, different things that make Angel angry. I think I want to begin this by asking, like, I don't know, because you're different because, you know, you have longer hair than me. No.
because you have a different perspective because, like...
What?
I would fucking love that.
Dude, that would be perfect, like, 2018 Chris. Be like, well, you know... Yeah.
Which is because, like, let's face it.
Yeah. Let's face it.
Oh my god.
Stop having these fits. Back to the question.
Yeah.
Yes. So what particularly are you angry about? Like when, like what makes you so fearless to literally come on a platform like this and be like, straight up, y'all suck? Like I want to know what brought you to that point of anger. Yeah. Fill me in.
Yeah, literally Sarah was like,
where to begin?
If you ever talk about this, put me on because I have things to say.
Yeah.
And I was like, guess what we're doing tonight?
I know, we're blowing up. So I guess one of the thing that like really sent me over the, no, let me back up. Where do I begin? Okay, so I already said, you know, structurally, story-wise, some of these scripts, I just couldn't believe they were on this best of list, but that's a reoccurring theme, like, you know, brown writers, white writers, whatever. I've just read some fucking trash scripts that I cannot believe get to the point that they are. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with creating things that are subpar if that's what the other person wants to do, you know? Like you mentioned, there's a space for movies that are at this level and then there's a space for movies that are at this level. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't mean that it can't all coexist at the same time.
And now when you say that, what movies in particular you were about to list off examples?
Crazy Rich Asians. Fucking sucks. Stop making them, but they're never going to stop.
They're never going to stop.
And people are going to say maybe it's because it's not my culture and people feel like a strong pull to it. Mm. Like a lot of people thought Roma was fucking boring. You know?
Yeah, a lot of like national Mexicans like like did not like that movie. They said it was like aimless and stuff.
Yeah, and so like, yeah, there's a space for like, oh, you know, it's not hurting anybody or whatever. But it just gets me it gets me angry, especially when shit like El Chicano gets fucking made. And shit like Papi Chulo.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We didn't even talk about Papi Chulo on this, but...
One day. We're coming for you, Papi Chulo. Yeah, we're coming for you, Papi Chulo. Fucking days.
We have unintentionally bad movies to get to first before we get to you. But, I guess I wanted to ask, too, because we're talking about, obviously, brown people. How do you feel about the word Latinx?
I don't like it because...
Really?
It's an all-encompassing term that just is like an easy fix to like lump brown people in this country all together, you know? Mm-hmm. This term literally doesn't exist in Latin America. You've got Mexican people, you've got Guatemalans, you've got Panamanian people, you know what I mean? And then they come here and they're Latinx. And it's like all of their like specific identities and cultural differences and nuances and even like indigenous languages, they just get erased.
Do you think though that, I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but do you think that the reason people do that, why they market kind of like Latinx, it almost feels like you guys, or y'all mentioned this earlier in the show, that it feels that like Latinx is just like a net word, just to encompass a whole.
Dude, for sure, like that's what Sarah's talking about, just kind of like your culture gets erased, like you're not Honduran anymore, you're not, unless you're speaking to other people from freaking Central America, like you wouldn't even, no one even cares or even knows what a Honduran is, what an El Salvadorian
is.
So then I want to pose this question to the both of you. What do you say to an executive that says, well, how do you market that? How, like, that is such a niche thing. Like, it makes more sense to put it under this net. I'm playing devil's advocate here. Like, but like if they were to give you that argument, because that's how I ration those things in my head. I'm like, I think about it. I'm like, yeah, it sucks that we get minimalized into like just one thing. I'm like, but in a way, white people are too. There are some Scottish people. There's Australian.
I gotta say though, they're very vocal about their heritage.
For sure. I'm not saying it's any better, but it's like I guess it depends on how people take that. Like, do they think it's them trying to discredit, or just like I'm just making it easier on everybody to express or to describe a specific group of people?
Well, just in my experience,
and I'm playing devil's advocate here. This isn't my belief.
Well, just in my experience,
everyone's like. It's like, what
are you saying? I'm playing devil's advocate. I believe it.
As a biracial person, as you have noticed, I have the whitest fucking name
alive. I didn't know we had logic on the
podcast. Oh, shit.
The white side of my family, like, my God, they were just like, we're Irish, we're German, we're English, like, very vocal, like, don't get it twisted, we're not Italian, we're not French, you know what I mean? Like, that type of bullshit.
And I'm not a dirty Italian!
What, it's okay, I'm white too!
And then on the Mexican side of my family, you know, like, we are Mexican, but people who didn't know that, they would just say, like, just call us Mexican without asking, you know what I mean? Mm. And, like, my mom is a woman of indigenous heritage. Like, she cannot be confused, like, with any, like, white passing type of thing. But all of a sudden, they were just like, you're Mexican. Like, that's, like, you just get labeled in that box. Like I said, we do just happen to be Mexican. But with a lot of my friends, I know that happens to them. They're Salvadorian. They're Guatemalan, you know.
They're just like, Mexican.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all the same thing.
It's all the same thing. We're all just one giant country.
And I will also say, I think there's more interest in European differences than Central American differences.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that people, could people, like, it's like, oh, Italian culture. It's like a romance to it.
We were just having a conversation in the car. People are more willing to learn fucking Alden Ehrenreich than a Yalitza Aparicio. Yeah. It's like, what's the difference? It's the same amount of confusing.
Yeah,
it's
one of my coworkers was like, if people can learn how to pronounce Schwarzenegger, they can fucking learn how to say your name.
Exactly. And so, Angel, you are just coming hot off of a WME internship.
Yes.
And I know both of you want to touch on this, but what was your take on the Latino representation within that building? Give us the lowdown.
It could be better, especially in the bigger positions of power, I think.
Considering that 50% of LA is Latinx.
Exactly. And then there's
50, really?
Yeah.
I thought it'd be more.
It might be more at this point. That's the last statistic I read.
Yeah, it could be better. But what I liked about it is that there's like a close-knit, you know, circuit, I guess. I
don't know. Of the few you
Latinos
met.
They banded together to form this, like, life raft there.
Was there, like, a nickname, like, the Beanbag Boys? the Beaner Boys?
The Beanerbag Boys?
The Beanerbag Boys. Sorry, little joke.
They were,
little joke.
I'm going to watch Good Boys.
Good Boys is good.
I don't know. I don't think they had a nickname, but they were... It felt good when I found out that they existed. Then it didn't feel so, like... fucking othered, because dude, it was
what does that mean, othered again?
When it's like when a group of people makes you feel like not a part of that group, and then you feel like an other person in this group.
Okay,
basically, yeah. That's the best I can do to describe that shit.
And Sarah, so have you had any interactions with Latinos, or I guess Latinx, or what? I say brown, I prefer brown, I think.
Yeah,
I think that covers my bases and people don't get offended. I just say we're just a bunch of brown kids, and like they get it. I think that like saves me the trouble of having to have the discussion. Brown's just easier. It's like, you know, I don't know. It just sounds cooler and sweeter. But I wanted to ask, have you ever had any experience in particular with any Latinos in the workspace?
I have, but as Angel mentioned, it's way, 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 way too like small of a number. I used to work at a company of 120 people in the entertainment space. And I want to say there were maybe like 5 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt almost like the sunken place sometimes, because we would just see each other in the hallway and like acknowledge each other visually or something. You know what I mean?
Like, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you.
And when I got closer to one of my brown coworkers, we even like did verbally acknowledge it. Like, we have to have each other's back and like look out for each other. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, kid.
So 5 out of 120, you said?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay. So then the question now for me becomes just because I'm curious. Did you find that those like 5 people were particularly smart, or was it just like a random lot of folk, or were they 5 the only 5 for a reason, because they're so good at what they do?
Just by coincidence, I think, but maybe this could be a bigger thing. They were all technically skilled, so they had to have experience.
Meaning, like
with editing software.
So like we're still working stuff.
Mixing, things like that. There were no brown executives. There were no brown producers or anything like that.
Oh, okay. So,
no brown copywriters. Like.
Okay, so nobody in like a high field. Just
yes.
Like, no authority. And then that brings
Oh, no, I take that back. There was one brown producer. She was not Latinx. She was of Middle Eastern descent, and she was a temp producer. So she wasn't even there, like, full time.
And seeing that,
in person, like, when you hear the numbers, like, you can just imagine kind of how staggering it is, like, to visually see it. But you've seen it. What does that say to you?
Says to me that, you know, Hollywood is becoming more diverse, I will agree, but not at the rate that it should be. And there is active discrimination against brown people.
I wonder why that is. Do you have any takes? Because, I mean, brown people, I mean, we're kind of, I mean, right now, like, I think the number one music in the world is, I don't want me to sound like an NPR person here, but I think the number one music in the world right now is J Balvin. Yeah, J Balvin shit. Like, the
number one listen to
is that? That's not reggaeton, is it? Is it?
Yeah, he's reggaeton.
Okay, then yeah, then reggaeton. Like, that's number one music. So we are becoming cooler in a sense, but, like, what do you think the holdback is for us?
It's like...
Why are we a harder pill to swallow?
I feel like we're only accepted when people like want something from us. Like, you know, being fucking like reggaeton is cool. So people like now they like J Balvin because he's like a cool like a cool guy, and like listening to Latin music is like sexy. Drake's on a song, Cardi B. You know, it's like super popular, but like nobody gives a fuck about these kids in cages. You know, like you'll listen to J Balvin and not give a fuck about human rights when it comes to Latino people. Like, there's that disconnect where they like us when we're fucking big and glamorous and like superstars. But when it comes to the real issues, I'm like, I don't want to.
But that's an issue that the black community faces as well, you know, that like white people or just lighter skinned people will consume black media and it's entertainment, true. But then don't have the same sort of like compassion when they're getting killed by police.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
They become that meme, the.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Or the just like the when there was a meme a while ago that I saw when it was like white people like Martin Luther King wouldn't agree with these riots, and then like a quote from Martin Luther King, like a riot is the voice of the
Martin Luther King, number one direct action hero. We need to fucking take lead and stand up the way he did.
Yeah,
he was not a peaceful man.
What did he say? He said a riot is like the voice of the unheard or something like that. And then it was like a picture of a white person like, like, I don't hear it.
Sarah, when you hear us like joke about white people and stuff like that,
about half of your race,
like, what is that like? Does that like? How do you feel about that? How does that, and how does your family feel about that? Like, I wonder, does anybody in your family ever come to you with the experience of, because I feel like white people are a lot more scrutinized now, and like, now, like, that, it's an insult that's thrown back at them. So have your parents ever been, like, white shamed before, to your knowledge? How does it make you feel? Because that, it is part of you.
Yeah. Well, the white side of my family is my father's side, and we're not close in the slightest. They are very, very weird people who live in a farm in Pennsylvania that I met when I was, like, 2 years old. Whoa. So that just kind of says that.
There you go.
Raised by my mom's side of the family, Mexican side of the family. So that's what I feel. Identify closer to them, especially growing up in Southern California, and also, like, you know, kind of passing more as a brown person. That's just how I've been treated. But... I guess I used to get like a little like butthurt about it, but then I had to identify my own privilege in being a lighter skinned person. And
I wouldn't know what that feels like.
It's
I'm just kidding.
Because you're trying to trick me.
As we've established before,
I'm not brown enough. Go ahead,
Tom. No, but then I guess I had to like examine my own privilege and why I was getting so like upset, or not upset. I wasn't that upset, but you know, feeling like a little bit defensive and stuff. And I just had to examine history and like, man, people of color have been fucked over for all of history up until maybe about 50 years ago. Then they started getting some rights, but it's still not like, you know,
It's not enough.
Like I learned yesterday that our constitution is the only constitution in like the modern, you know, whatever you want to call it,
first world countries
that doesn't have explicit protection for women, and that includes women of color.
America was like,
yeah,
protection,
like equal like, rights protection.
Because when the constitution was made, men.
Right, yeah. But how, like, are women not protected? I'm just genuinely curious.
There's literally no amendment. No, there's literally no amendment that says, like, men and women have equal rights and, like, should be protected the same way.
The reason why we're doing it now is just because, just under the assumption, it's like, well, Now it's
yeah,
open
exactly.
to you.
But it's just like an unspoken thing. We're the That's only scary. Modern country that doesn't have that. Like, our whole basis, our whole country was founded in white supremacy. The Constitution was founded for white, like, land owners. That's and terrifying. That was 230 years ago. That shit has trickled down. That's a very recent thing, you know? Like, we are a baby country, and that shows, like, in the wealth, what do you want to call it? Like, being not spread out evenly, you know? That's why a lot of, like, white people, they own a majority of the wealth, and they get to make, ultimately, like, tying back to this, media decisions, because they make what they want to see. And I'm not trying to make this, like, an anti-white rant or anything.
And to quote our first episode, genocide!
God damn. I'm not trying to make, like, an anti-white, you know, thing. I, like, hope one day we can move on and just, you know, look past color. But we got a long way to go. But just in our history, this is a country.
This
is a country founded for white male landowners. And that language has never been removed.
Like, as if we're in a college.
You're speaking the truth, sweetheart.
Dude, Chris is getting woke right now.
Dude, I'm getting woke every day this year, and I'm just like,
get angry.
I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, Reagan was a piece of shit.
Oh man!
And I'm like, that's just the tip of the
that's
iceberg.
That's a whole
fuck
podcast in itself. Yeah, that's a whole episode.
The stay tuned for the Reagan. Episode.
Steering back so that way our filmmaker audience don't get alienated. I want to talk about writers that are popping right now, movies that are coming out right now. We got that Dora movie. Hell yeah.
No, dude, we're so good on representation. We got Dora the Explorer, and that's
we got Dora in the bag. Dude,
we got Dora and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh my god, side note.
That was a funny joke.
One time I was
gonna laugh, and then she said side note. I'm like, sorry, Angel, you lost the laugh.
One time I was working on this movie as his director's assistant, and this like crazy ass producer walked into the office, and she goes, I was thinking about what everybody looks like as a cartoon character. And then she looked me straight in the eye and was like, you look like Dora the Explorer.
Whoa.
And it was like really awkward. I didn't know what to do. I was just like, all right. Uh-huh. And then the director, who was a white blonde lady, was like, what do I look like? And then the producer didn't have anything to add. She was like, okay, I guess we'll just like workshop it. So I was like, was this woman driving in her car for like 30 minutes?
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it to her. I'm going to go right up to her fucking face. And I'm going to goddamn say it.
It's like, honey, don't do it. What? She does look like Dora the Explorer.
I can't help it.
It's like, honey, don't. It's like,
wait, Margaret,
not a bad
don't do
thing.
It. Don't do it. Don't tell the kid she looks like Dora.
I need it. It must be said.
I think the crew is going to think it's funny. Don't do it.
Damn. Have a backup name, sweetheart.
They're not going to need a backup name.
What if someone asks you what they look like?
What are we doing? Talk to me about Latino writers.
I want to. Sarah, you mentioned earlier. You mentioned the words like it's not enough or whatever.
Actually,
actually, can we talk about this?
Go.
I want to talk about. You said it's not enough, and that reminded me about how we were talking about all these movies that we're getting. Yeah, Latino representations like Dora the Explorer. For me, it's not enough. I don't want this shit.
No, it's not.
I don't want this shit, and I don't know why everyone's in it. And if this is going back to our El Chicano episode, but it's like, you have fucking like Eugenio Derbez and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I hear it's harmless, but it's like, that is literally the only one we got. And it's high key embarrassing, dude.
Yeah.
Are you embarrassed by Dora the Explorer having like, you know, obviously looking like Dora the Explorer? Yeah, <'cause
laughs> as someone who looks exactly like Dora the Explorer.
That's the doppelganger.
How do you feel? How does that make you feel, Dora?
I mean...
That's really good.
Goodbye.
Oh god, it's gonna shit. Sorry, go ahead.
Calling my publicist. You know, I guess I haven't given Dora too much thought just because I have no interest in seeing it. Like, mm-hmm. I guess I want to get to a point where I can consume media that has Latinx people in it, but is not Latinx focused. It's not just shoved down your throat all fucking time.
That's all I ever advocate for, dude. Like, it's just like I always say, it's just normalizing browns. Like, that's the only thing I ever want to do.
Right. And I actually wanted to bring up, because I was thinking about, like, where have I seen good representation of a brown storyline or character or something? Oscar fucking Martinez from The Office. Oh, nailed it. Really? Nailed it. Because you don't think about the fact that he's brown. That's not what you're focused on. You know what I mean? But it's not like he doesn't have like authentic experiences to his life. He speaks Spanish. Occasionally, he will bring up something that is relevant to like being in a brown existence. Uh-huh. He's just like an amazing, normal character. Wow. Like, he's... That's just what I aspire for, basically.
I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Which is your point. Like, you don't even think about it.
You don't think about it.
Another one that people don't talk about, too, and I always advocate for it, but George Lopez. Like, I think... I'm like,
no!
No, dude, even though I... Even though, no, I think that is the best brown... I was going to say podcast. Sitcom we've ever had. I think that will remain like better than fucking 8 days a week or whatever the fuck that other show's called.
Eight days a week.
One day at a time or fucking whatever.
That's
other.
That's the only sitcom.
No, there's another brown one.
Another brown sitcom?
There might be, but like it like of all those I've seen, George Lopez will remain the one that like did the brown humor with the most subtlety. Believe it or not, from a guy that goes,
yo, what you
I got this like that. Yeah, that guy had subtlety, believe it or not. If you go back and look at the show, it's just all of it's I guess because this was closer to my childhood, but it was a middle class family. Like, the dad was a manager at a warehouse, had these two white bosses, and literally that was my dad.
That's true.
And so that was like, I was like, oh, this is cool. It's like they had a nicer house and everything, but I'm like, but like roughly like mom, dad, like same thing. Yeah, like, you know, siblings that can't get along.
Yeah.
And none of the episodes ever made it about their... Not, like, if you go back, it's all just about a wacky situation that George gets in with Ernie or whatever. It's rarely about being brown. And I kind of love that because it's just a part of them. And the stories come from the funny writing, but specific to them. But, like, the reason why it's specific to them, it's because they're brown. So it's, like, low-key... It's low-key, like, represent, like, well-represented just in, a, like, a quiet way. So
they're just normal people.
Yeah, they are.
They're normal fucking people.
Like, the humor or not, the storylines will always revolve around inter-family relationships, slut-shaming or bullying, like, to an extent where families need to move schools or stuff like that. Like, I look back at it fondly, and I like rewatching clips on YouTube because I'm like, this is, like... I guess this is why I don't feel the frustration y'all felt. Like, feel like you've come to me before. So, like, I've never seen anything like that truly makes me feel. And I'm like, I kind of have, like, in that show. And so maybe I like, because I had Nick at Night, access to Nick at Night.
I did not.
Yeah, so maybe that, yeah, it's like, it's like things like that. It was that privilege, though.
Wow,
but...
Chris, your privilege is really showing right
now. Yeah, it's really shining.
I got Nick at Night, sorry.
Yeah, but I think that's why... I think that's one that doesn't get talked about enough and probably won't. I don't know if maybe we keep advocating for it. I know I just like totally like just like gang your fucking last movie, Chicano, dude.
George,
but
George Lopez,
but,
yeah.
But like that George Lopez really, I think, I hope people will look back at the show years from now and be like, yo, this show was actually really like just a normal show. Like anybody could watch this show. Even people like white or like black people on Twitter, they're always tweeting about it. Like, oh, you remember waking up at 3 a.m. to see the theme song? How great is that theme song opening, dude? We parodied it like twice.
Dude, falling asleep, waking up to George Lopez. The low
rider. Yeah, so that's my, I know I kind of went on a whole thing about that, but that's something
looks
I
like,
personally.
Looks like Chris still loves George Lopez.
I do.
So you're still going to work with him?
I would love to.
He's doing that fucking other, like, that immigrant movie that remember we saw.
Oh yeah, he's doing. Look, I mean, at this point, if he's watching, he's like, dude, I'm not gonna work with you. But I would remain to do so because he still is a staple of. You know, it's like Adam Sandler. Like, you don't just quit on him just because he does fucking Jack and Jill. There's still a real artist in there. So
or
you bring
like
him up for something like Uncut Gems.
Five other terrible.
Oh yeah,
but you see. When Adam Sandler makes a bad movie, people don't go, oh, all white people are fucking dumb.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, but yeah. when George Lopez makes a movie,
it's a strong point.
And he goes, "Fuck Mexicans." maybe
damn
that,
it, George.
Maybe that hurts the community a little more well, than Adam Sandler in a fucking fat suit.
Well, also, there's just like there's the normal movies, aka the white movies, and then there's the Latinx brown films. And when they don't do well, executives go, "I guess they
see,
don't."
They can't. Yeah, they can't. They can't open a movie.
You see? You see?
Even though Latina women are the most likely to give new media and consumption a, like, a chance. Like, they are the first spenders, statistically. It's just, like, this huge market, money left on the table because of fucking racism. Like,
some guy's like, I don't yeah, see it. I don't, yeah. I mean, I saw do they, Chicano.
Do they like movies?
Didn't do that well.
Do they have cell phones?
Just like, what about that Alfonso guy? That Alfonso guy.
I think that's why I'm really big though on concept first, at least when I write anything, because I want it to be where like the story alone, regardless of the people in it, are much more valuable. And I'm gonna pause it here. It's Nina's
really quickly touching on not being portrayed in movies. There's this really great article that Chris Rock did, I think for the Hollywood Reporter. It was one of the trades.
I think I read what you're talking about.
And he was talking about, you know, how many Latinx people, I think he used the term Mexican, but let's just call them brown people. How many brown people there are in LA, you know, and he said, you basically have to be trying not to hire brown people.
100%.
Like, if there's anybody listening that is not familiar with LA or not from here, like, we're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
We are the majority minority.
Yeah, Damien Chazelle.
You fucking piece of shit. Fuck you. Hey, fuck you. Next time I see you at Sunday.
I'm sorry, Damien. I know what that caused. I'll text you later.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Damien Chazelle, I think you're a cool guy, but fuck, man. Where the fuck are the brown people?
Where the brown people at?
Don't worry. I'll make the brown one.
Chris is like, don't listen to him, Damien.
Don't listen, Damien.
Well, that was great.
I don't get it. I loved it. It was a masterpiece.
It's like, we're not finished talking, Damien.
I loved it, Damien. No, I'm just kidding.
But, dude, I totally agree. There's... You have to be fucking trying not to include brown people in your fucking movies,
right.
In your work, in your team.
And I do have to say that actually I've seen a lot of diversity when I'm working on set behind the scenes. I think that's getting a lot better from what I've seen just in my experience. But in terms of like the office exec level where stories are being commissioned, where they're being financed, you know, like stories are being chosen to go to production, terrible. Fucking terrible.
It's a shitty system, but I kind of do like that there is a prove yourself kind of energy now to when brown people write stuff, at least right now, because I think when you capture a moment where people are frustrated, that's when you just get the things that really hit the hardest.
I believe in the opposite. I think right now people are so angry about all the shit that's happening to us that the stories that we're making are so pandering, and they're more equivalent to a PSA than an actual film or a story. Like, they're just like, oh, undocumented immigrants. And then they fucking make a story about undocumented immigrants, but it's not like a fucking interesting story that I want to follow with interesting characters, with interesting character arcs. It's just like, doesn't it suck being undocumented? Look at all the hardships we have to go through.
Yeah, it's trauma porn.
Yeah, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, it's like the stories that you're seeing from being made into a movie to like winning a diversity like fellowship to even getting into college. It's like, I had a single mom and we were on welfare and I'm like, you know, every fucking thing that you could imagine, like I'm in a wheelchair. Like, you really have to like sell yourself out about how terrible your life is, like, you know, as a person of color.
I slept on the floor the first 17 years of my life.
Don't you? Yeah. Don't I would counter that point back with, would it, at least I would, maybe just because I'm, this is just who I am, but I would chalk it up to, oh, those people just aren't talented writers.
The ones that...
That are doing the pandering stuff. Like, it's not about... I wouldn't blame the time. I blame the writers.
Oh, no. I mean also just, like, the people that are getting selected for, like, right. fellowships yeah. and scholarships. That's,
total,
like...
Total, like, weak sauce. Sorry.
No, no. But, like, the people who are, like, saying their own, like, personal stories. And I'm not trying to belittle poverty. Like, it is a very racist system, like, as we've talked about before. But the people that get chosen... I feel like are the ones that have to like really ham it up about how difficult their life is as a brown person. And then, you know, the people who are selecting these recipients, mostly white people, mm-hmm. those are the ones that like really hit home. 'Cause they're like, oh, I can help.
How we have to put our saddest stories like on our sleeve in order to get noticed.
I haven't had to do that. I know it's not a big, company. I know there's different stakes, but there was, and we've talked about this on the show before, where when I turned in the script for Instant Crush, one of the notes was like, can we make it more Mexican? And I just gave Cindy, like, now she has a Mexican handbag. And I changed another little thing, too. But I think if you come in with the energy of, this is what I'm doing, and this is how I want to do it, which I know a lot of writers are, you've said this before to me, like, Chris, not everyone is, like, I guess, strong-willed as you. And I'm starting to recognize that, but I feel like, especially when you're going to go into a field like this where you're, think of it this way, we're all kind of being our own little stockbrokers. We're playing with people's money. Mm. We're making art, but we're playing with people's money.
Mm.
And I think that you need to have an energy and a spirit thick enough to endure the winnings or the repercussions. And that's why I think I've always championed for people to be more strong-willed, because I'm like, you're gonna, like, it's not even about, like, the world, it's just like, shit happens, sometimes fucking things go wrong, or sometimes you lose money, it's like, and you're gonna have to know that you can't go and run to a room and cry, or, like, you can, but, like, you can't just cry about it and cry for it to go away, like, you're gonna have to, like, suck up to things, own up to problems, pay for things yourself, And that's why I think it's important that those people, I don't know, I think it's important to look at the writers. I wouldn't blame the situation. I don't think the lack of is the problem. It is the problem, but it's not why we're not getting good stories. I think it's the writers themselves. I would always blame the writers.
You think the writers that are being chosen are bad?
Yeah. I think not bad, but I just think that they're not, like, they're just, because it's, so like you said, it's like what white people are looking for.
It's the same situation as, like, rap. It's like,
They're getting the real shit.
They rap about illegal shit because that's what people want to hear. And so this is it's a system that perpetuates this shit. It's like people that glorify these shitty situations, but the people consuming that aren't in those situations.
But that's why I don't even feel bad that I have not. I mean, granted, I never applied, but I don't feel bad about not being accepted onto like these fucking Latin whatever lists, because I'm like, these scripts are like, first of all, it's what white people are looking for, but it's also what our beaners are looking for too. You know,
Chris's favorite.
I have to throw a little meme.
Hey, we gotta be inclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Brownies, excuse me. Yeah, it's what the brown executives want too. And I actually have a gripe against brown executives. Just the one little thing. I feel like a lot of brown executives are way too clutched onto like their old head ways. That anything new or weird, like, they're just gonna brush it off, and they only ever celebrate it, you know, if it makes some kind of impact.
That's true.
Like, if you think about Blindspotting, like, Blindspotting's fucking unique as fuck, and nobody believed in it.
Yeah.
It totally got dicked.
Yeah.
And I think when I saw that, it made me feel good, because I'm like, okay, good, so now I know what to expect. You know, that at least in the beginning, things that aren't about a hot topic, things that aren't dour and depressing or just like hardship Latino movies, they may or may not fare well, but I think that's why we're tired. I mean, overall, I'm tired of just... I'd rather see those movies fail, but at least be in theaters, than to see movies, big Hollywood, whatever movies like Dora, like, make all this money and be like, oh, God, they think this is what we want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But people... I think the general population, that is what they want. I think.
And that's,
I
think, what you think?
I mean, like...
I mean, I don't know.
Dora's making a lot of money, right? Like, all these...
But kids' movies always make money. Like, that's the number one genre. Like, kids and action films.
I want to hold on to the fact... I want to believe that people want more, but I'm not seeing it. And then when we see like lists and programs and all these things, mm-hmm. and the stuff feels so subpar.
Yeah.
It makes me think, huh, what does it make me think? I don't know. It's just a difficult situation.
Well, something that really frustrates me, and like you said, we're playing with people's money. So there's a lot on the line. So I think Hollywood plays it safe, right? Because they're what am I going to get for my return? I can't take a chance. But we are literally tastemakers. Like, if you start making enough movies in a certain area, people will watch them.
Oh, hell yeah.
You get me? And hell it really yeah. That's frustrates why I'm always me an that people for don't see that. Stuff.
Yeah.
So I just think, like, that's what the public... they may want that now, but if you start making a change towards like impactful,
it's like they don't even know. Didn't even realize what they were missing. They're like, oh, like it could be this. Like this, I want to see more of that. Dude, same thing. That's what happened with Pulp Fiction.
I agree. So why aren't people doing? Why aren't more people?
Because
I
don't we're know. Not nobody. What? Nobody's thinking of those movies.
Why?
Those movies aren't getting funded.
I'm gonna be controversial. Why are we getting shows like Vida? Where is this?
Ooh, you called
it. Yeah, where I just don't believe in the characters and the representation. And this is something me and Sarah have, like, discussed. Chris has only seen one episode.
Mm-hmm. It was hot.
I've seen season one. Oh, it was hot. It started off with a big orgy.
I do have to say, I really did like season one. Like, legitimately, if anybody's watching this, I love season one.
Sarah loves season one, and I will
season two...
I did not see season two because I did dislike season one, and I saw the first episode of season two, and it was better than I actually thought. Episode one of season two was better than season one,
mm-hmm.
but I just didn't care enough to continue.
I don't like Latino shows. I hate them.
It's like I just don't want them in my TV.
I don't though.
What do you mean?
Like I don't like what we have now. Right. I don't care for anything we got now.
How would you classify them? Like, when you talk about these Latino shows, like, what do you see that you don't like?
I can't say I don't like. It's just more like I'm not like
interested.
I'm not like I'm not. Yeah, like I'm not. My body is not like itching to see it.
You know, someone told me they were like, I told them how I didn't like Vida, and they're like, of course you don't. It's not for you. What do you think?
Oh, that could be. That could be. And then that.
Then who is it for?
She said it's for women, mostly queer women. She said, and I was like. I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
So
it's tricky, but Sarah, since we're on the topic of shows,
yeah,
you have a story about, I think, not getting a job at one of these shows.
Yes, a show that will remain nameless.
Super nameless.
Yeah. Super nameless.
Because I do know people that still work there, and I appreciate and I love them very much.
And Sarah wants to have a job in the future.
And I would like to have a job in the future and also remain
friends.
This is an
open discussion. We're not shitting on your show.
Yeah. But yes, a show that I had a job potentially line up for as a, like, I think it was like writer's PA or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like a support job. I did not get it because my Spanish wasn't strong enough. And this is a show that's in English, but it seems like there's this like identity now about like who can call themselves like, you know, how brown are you basically? Like you gotta be like super like biliterate and like just be bleeding fucking like the flag of your home country or something.
You have
shit.
To have a Mexico jersey. You have to be
if that's the fucking case, then that's why those shows are just so fucking in your face. We were walking around getting high with Justin and the boys. It was nice. And we were just talking about the state of movies like or shows. And I was talking like, I think shows like Vida, I said, what I see the most is like, I said this in a hopeful way. I said, right now, I feel like women are frustrated because they're finally getting a job, but it's just like, oh, like it's about fucking time. So when you see these shows, I get why they're in your face, why it's like, chingona level or whatever status, whatever they say. but, and that's cool. Like, I know there are people who like genuinely fucking rock with that. And like, that's fucking tight. Like, I think any brown pride is beautiful, but like, stop making that the parameter too. Like, we're not that extreme. Like, that's our whole fucking point. Ooh. Even with good stereotypes, a person who's proud of their heritage or like a really shitty cholo, like guys or folks, white people, like why does it have to be the only the two ends of the spectrum, and what about a little middle?
Where's that? Mean, these were brown people making decisions, but just for like all the non-Latinx listeners out there, just listing off, you know, brown people that I mean, or Latinx people that I know, because brown and Latinx are different. Not all Latinx people are brown. I know a Latinx person who's half Japanese and listens to post-punk. Like, I know a Latinx person who's like really into like K-pop. I know a Latinx person who's like a total fucking nerd and just bleeds comic books. You know what I mean? Like, we come on all ends of the spectrum, identity, like gender identities, interests, like. You cannot name something and say that's Latinx. And I think that's why I don't like that term, because it kind of feels like it's constricting us into something.
It's like newly defined. It's like Urban Dictionary eyes now, where it's like, it's not even meant, like they play it off as like, this is a word for y'all, but it's like, it's just their like company power buzzword to use.
I get the feeling sometimes that when people like envision Latinx, they think Chicanx. Which is a very, very different thing.
Break it down. Pricky, because I don't know what I mean. I don't know what's the difference between any of those.
Chicano, very Chicanx is just, you know, the like gender neutral form of that. And it's Mexican American. Would you say that it encompasses any like other kinds of brown folks, like brown Americans into it?
For me, Chicano has always been felt like an East LA thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though it's like supposed to be just all Mexican Americans. But I think overall, Chicano culture is very like East LA centered, and that's what people think of when they think of Chicano culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just a lot of like imagery that comes to mind is like Dia de los Muertos, like
Lowriders,
like Saggy,
Lil Rob, Hector. Hector's gotta eat.
You gotta get Los Doyers.
Doyers up in there. Foo's Gone Wild.
Yeah.
Hey, shouts out.
Foo's Gone Wild. We legitimately love you.
Warning. That's Chicano culture.
That's Chicano culture.
This Foo's on a sick one.
The higher the socks, the downer the Foo.
And I love Chicanx people. I think they're dope, but that's not Latinx, because what the fuck is Latinx? See, like, there's no definition for it.
Hollywood will never have fucking the higher the socks, the downer the Foo.
I don't know. We're getting pretty close. Fucking like it won't be like Foo's Gone Wild is on Kuko's album.
It won't be an ad in Times Square.
That's true.
Yeah, dude. It won't be long before the Holly
Foo's. Smoking broken windows.
Love that song. Good album. That's
a step in the right direction.
And it really is. Like, and we'll be real. We were talking mad shit about that fucking cover art. I still think it's hella ugly. Sorry, but the album, like, I'm just like, dude, this is what we need.
Yeah, it's like you listen to that and you don't think Latinx, you know? But absolutely. This is a brown kid from Hawthorne who speaks kind of good Spanish sometimes, you know, like.
And that opening with like I remember some people thought it was kind of dumb to open it with like a Foo's Gone Wild skit in the opening, but I said like, no guys, you don't realize like now that's like a part of like, that's going to be on Billboard. Like that song is on Billboard, a song called with like the words Foo's Gone Wild. Like we've infiltrated like the fucking system.
Foo culture is international.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what gets me excited at least. But
and that's why this episode is called Holly Foos.
That's what it is.
Fucking we're Holly Foos.
Bringing it all around. I think we're about to wrap it up.
Yeah. I mean, I guess now we get to the point of the show where we've already discussed roughly what's holding us back, right? What would you say? You could summarize.
I think we would all have like different opinions on what's holding us back.
I guess a fun game you can play is when you're watching something, count how many brown people are in it, and if there are brown people in it, what are they doing? What are they talking about? Just start being really, really vigilant in that, because a lot of people, they don't realize the importance of media. They think they can just put something out there and that it's entertainment for entertainment's sake. That shit seeps into your subconscious. And there have been studies that show that things that are represented in media take about 15 years to be reflected in the public. Like interracial marriage. Guess what came 15 years before that? I Love Lucy is not a coincidence.
Na, 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 na. So when are we gonna feel the ramifications of blood in, blood out? Is that shit fucking happening right now?
It's like, hey, you know what, fool?
That's what that's
Who's Gone Wild.
Who's Gone Wild is the result of Blood and Blood.
Yeah. Oh shit.
That's what Fuck. It is.
Yeah, I mean, because that really started food culture. Like that, I think like food culture is a little bit, it's a sloppier version of Chicano culture. Because like Chicano culture is like serious. And it's very like they talk like that and they mean it. Mm. But food culture is like, what's up, food? It's like a dumbed down version of.
Yeah, it's just like.
Like it's in the title, foo. It's full like, culture.
It's hard to really describe what a foo is, but you know a foo when you see him.
You know a foo.
Justin's a foo.
Yeah, dude, I completely agree with what you just said about how like, now I'm blanking on what you just
oh,
said.
Oh shit, dude, high angel.
What did you just say?
That's a dumbed down version.
It's
a
dumbed down. 15 years.
The media. What's holding us back? You said media.
Count how many brown people are there when you watch something and what are they doing?
That's my issue. My issue was that it feels like everyone is a character. Like they can only have looked like Mexican dialogue or Mexican iconography or Mexican goals or Mexican character traits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't feel like someone can just be a half Japanese, listens to post-punk, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Because people are going to be like, it's not Mexican enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the sombreros and the gritos?
Shit
like that.
I just also wanted to touch on really quickly, like, international representation. Because, you know, I went to school, we didn't talk about this, but I went to school in London. And the student bar had a Mexican night one time. And I didn't go because...
I'd be scared. Because
the fucking poster had a sombrero, maracas, and a drunk man like falling off of a donkey. And I was this is what they think of us. Like,
hey, come join us.
Yeah, and you're not wrong. Come fucking party. Come on, that's London though.
And come join us for Mexico.
Dude, that's like pristine white.
London's a really international place. There's a big, big brown culture in terms of Middle Eastern people. There are a lot of Asian people there. Like,
well, I don't see that represented.
Super multicultural.
Exactly.
Well, you know.
Well, you gotta watch BBC shows.
BBC shows are getting a little bit better with all their like BAME schemes and stuff.
But you make a good point. Like, that's what the
that's the international view of us.
Yeah, that's what they think. Sucks. That's what they think. They think we're just all like a bunch of like dirty drunk people that are like bringing drugs illegally and like stealing shit, you know.
I think that's kind of why I hate Coco.
Someone's gonna comment, where's the lie though?
Yeah.
Coco?
Yeah, Coco I did not think was very good.
Comments, tear them apart.
Do it. Rip me.
You didn't cry.
No, I did cry. I thought it was moving, but it almost felt, I don't want to say manipulative, because Disney and manipulative, come on. But, never. But, I said never. But, come on. Like, all these years to get, and I wasn't waiting. Like, oh, we finally got Coco. Yeah, I wasn't waiting for it. It was a nice little surprise they dropped on us. But all that time to make our first brown movie be just another liar revealed story. That is so boring. And literally down to the ending where the cameras fucking fling over to Ernesto de la Cruz and he's like, you think I like those fucking people out there? They're idiots. I'm a terrible person.
Get them out of my country. Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. Yeah. So I'm like, really? I'm like, that's the ending to Over the Hedge.
Come on, Disney.
Damn.
Come on, Disney.
It took two people to direct this. Look at
that. Yeah, it's true.
Hey, but you know why? Because one of them is
white. But that movie, I mean, it's nice and everything, but like I kind of want to move past already Day of the Dead stuff. Like, all right, like we literally got two of those fucking movies.
That's true.
The one's called Coco, and the other one's called like Day of the Dead.
I think it's called like, oh no, it's called The Book of Life.
There you go, fucking Guillermo.
That movie was cool. I don't care. That movie was cool.
That's fine. But I'm like, I want to see less of that because I'm not saying those things shouldn't be celebrated, but it's like, stop sanitizing.
Oversaturating.
Yes. Good word.
That's a pretty good word.
Like for any media creators out there, think of your most typical ass white show and just replace those with brown people.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
That's all we want to make.
It's not going to be that crazy.
Fucking brown madmen. I want that.
I want to see a Latino Friends. What do you want to see? Me and Sarah just said Latino madmen, Latino friends.
Well, brown madmen.
Brown madmen.
I want to see brown La La Land, and I'm already doing that.
What's it called? Speaking it into existence.
But also just like brown comedies where people aren't stupid.
Yeah, no, and like you can embrace stupid, real. But like not pandering. Exactly.
They're
exactly.
not fucking Gabriel Iglesias, chubby bunny, loud squeaky noises.
You know peak of representation? Fucking Pablo Francisco.
Who?
Hmm? Oh, you don't know the comedian Pablo Francisco?
No.
Fuck. This is forget about it.
This is not your finest hour.
Let me redo it. You know what peak representation? Carlos Mencia.
I'm like cutting that out.
You know who Carlos Mencia is.
Yes, I do. I do.
Fuck
Angel.
Chris, fuck Sarah.
Fuck you.
Fuck this podcast.
Fuck this podcast.
Not even my podcast.
You didn't like Carlos Mencia?
No.
Neither did I. Right. Let's move on.
Looks like this is the ending.
Yeah, we got to our points.
Just kidding.
Well, I guess now I want to close a good thing to close off with. Y'all are working on something yourself. Do you want to talk about a little bit about that?
The future begins here. I don't want we'll save the details for another time. But me and Sarah are writing a pilot for a TV show that's gonna
featuring brown people, but it's not a brown show.
But it's got a lot of spice and flavor. Mm-hmm. And awesome. Mm-hmm. It's so fiery.
Very muy caliente, muy caliente.
It's the most caliente show of the summer.
Is there an overly angry / aggressive, like hot, like Latin chick at the center of all of it with big titties?
Hell no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hollywood's just like, then why am I watching this?
Normal ass brown woman.
Then is it really a Latin household?
Hip-hop.
Yeah, it's like,
if the wife's not hot?
It's like, hey, where are the big titties?
Where are the spicy mamacitas? That's what the kids want.
Yeah, and like Sarah's in the room, like all this. Sweetheart, I'm only telling you the truth. Anyway, our show.
I just love the idea that Sarah would allow herself to walk into like a fucking 90s like studio. Everyone's smoking cigars like a wine. She's like, so kid, you want to make your next picture with the Pinnacle Pictures?
Yeah, hey, sweetie, come take a seat in.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
Read your script. I thought it was cute. No, sorry, go ahead.
I think our show is going to fucking change the game.
Yeah.
You can quote me right now.
Yeah.
That shit is going to be fucking.
And how does this show influence what you want to see? My final question.
Oh, okay. Sarah, you answer first.
Like I said, they're just normal ass people. Like when I tell people the concept of the show, I don't mention that they're brown or Latinx until I get more in depth and then their character name informs that. It's not it's not in the description, you know, like you said, it's not a fiery ass Latina or like a proud, like, you know, Chicano boy or some shit like that.
Cute, but in a slutty way.
It's just,
that's like some fucking character description. You fucking
oh my God.
I've read that before.
Just main characters, Hugo and Lola, normal ass brown folks.
Shout out Hugo and Lola.
Hugo and Lola. I like it because I want to finally see like a brown food go to community college and another brown person go to like school in Oregon and shit. Mm-hmm. And just like, and it's not like a struggle. It's not like they studied all night to pass their SAT and they barely got into college. It's just
because
like,
their mom's getting evicted.
Yeah.
Because their mom's getting evicted and this is the only chance to save the neighborhood.
Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong. You know, like they are still brown people in this world. It's not like we're going to pretend that like, they don't face any sort of obstacles or hurdles or anything, but their brownness isn't centered. It doesn't define who they are as a person in all of their actions.
Hell yeah. And so look on the horizon for it, because it's going to be fucking incredible. Yep.
Well, that answer for sure wraps up my feelings, my thoughts completely as well. I think we are, the more we do things like this, the more we assemble people together. Like even Oscar, I know he's just on his laptop here, but what he doesn't realize in his...
He's part of the wave.
He's part of the wave. Like he's literally cruising.
So let's wrap this shit up. Let's wrap this little... Oh, wait, hold on. Let me get into my Mexican voice.
Orale, carnal.
Orale, carnal. I think we're done here tonight, right?
I think I feel you, Holmes.
I agree, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
That's a real fool.
That's real.
Hey, what's up? Can I get some hot Cheetos, fool?
We're like duckies.
I will, you know what? Representation will meet my standards when we get that guy on screen. When we get a guy that's just like, hey, what's up, fool? Can I get some hot Cheetos?
But not, because we do have that. But like not in a character way. Like I want a genuine fool. Yeah.
You know who's a genuine almost fool? There's a guy on the show Euphoria, which I love. His name's Fez. And he's just like, he's a drug dealer, but he's like so authentic. And he's dumb, but he's not like a caricature dumb.
Mm, now that you're bringing up Euphoria, I do have to say shout out to the character Maddie. Brown character who's not centered in brownness.
And you only know she's brown when we're at her house and her mom is... I love the fucking show. Her mom talks in Spanish and she replies in English.
Yeah.
And that's their
That's how it dynamic. Is.
That's yeah. how it works.
It's fucking genius. And we'll leave it at that. That's the kind of shit I want to see. More shows like Euphoria. Boom.
Back that shit up. Thanks, Drake. I think we're going to wrap it up here.
Hell yeah. Thank you for sitting down listening to us talk shit about white people.
I think it was a little more critique on us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
White people are
about brown people.
That's right.
Critique on everybody. A little wholesome critique.
We all have places we can grow. Hollywood has places it can grow.
Mm. Yeah, look, just because we're not meeting expectations now doesn't mean the game's over forever. You still have a chance to ride this way before we completely
evacuate you.
Every time you make a creative choice, just think, like, how could this be, you know, interpreted? How could this affect someone?
Yeah, think about your fucking stories a little more, goddamn screenwriters, instead of writing fucking stories about a gay, undocumented, fucking homeless immigrant who's a fucking prostitute.
She's
like,
like, fucking, I don't doubt that a person like that exists, but when that's all the fucking story is, fuck you.
Where is Brown 7th Heaven?
We have to unite ourselves too. At the end of the day, that's why people like Macro are killing it. That's why black creators are killing it, dude. They're thinking about the greater good, and we should all be thinking about the greater good. At the end of the day, we all got to be on the same page.
Let's hope the future is a little brighter.
It will be.
And with that, we end another episode of the Us Podcast.
Thank you very much.
Sarah Neal, thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on
and being a fucking awesome contributor to this roundtable episode.
Do you have any plugs you'd like to give us before we sign off?
Follow Sarah on Instagram.
You can follow me at Sarara Neal. That's S-A-R-A-R-A-H-N-E-A-L. And just watch that space. I don't post very often, like about creative stuff, but once, you know, our pilot gets up and running and our other projects, it'll get a little busier.
Mm-hmm. You're going to want to jump on early for this
show. You can find me there on Instagram and Twitter.
Perfect.
Twitter's a little funnier.
Perfect. And you know our ads, you don't need to be reminded. Oh, shout out to Sam.
Fuck yeah.
Beautiful Sam.
Oh my God, the fucking dope. Look at this. The dopest fucking
prettiest cover in the world.
Hopefully
Sarah, like right now, because Sarah doesn't have that picture, so she's just like...
You're just going to put an image over my face.
Sorry, Sarah. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's it for us. This was...
I don't know what number this episode is.
This was the Us Podcast.
Oh, this was the Us Podcast. It still is and will forever be.
Level 2. Because even when we lose, we win.
You got to say that, Sarah. Even when we lose...
All I do is win. I win no matter what.
That works for me. Bye.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris. Thanks for listening to another fucking awesome episode of the Us Podcast.
Level 2.
If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow at the Chris Carmona.
You can follow me at AngelEyeSalinas_.
Make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at Us Podcast. And check out our YouTube channels because we really need that support from y'all right now.
Listen to us on Spotify, listen to us on Apple Music, listen to us on Stitcher, literally anywhere you can get your podcasts.
You literally have no fucking excuse not to listen to us, bitch.
Whoa! I'm back, baby!
Just kidding. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Oh, thanks, y'all.
Holy shit. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.